You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO at 102.7 FM.
Canada signed a free trade agreement with its biggest trading partner, the United States, in 1994. Now Canada is working a trade deal with its second biggest partner, the European Union. It's called the Canada-European Union Comprehensive Economic and Trade Agreement, or CETA for short. Canadian trade negotiators headed to Brussels last month for a sixth round of Canada-EU free trade negotiations. The governments involved claim that the deal is a win-win situation. But critics say the key public services and rights will be endangered if the deal is signed. The Council of Canadians is one of those groups that is critical of the agreement. Stuart True is the trade campaigner at the Council of Canadians. He has joined me by phone from Ontario. Hello, Stuart.
Hi, good morning, Manuel.
Why is the Council of Canadians concerned about CETA?
Well, I think we, like, you know, about 30 other groups in Canada who've been paying attention to it for the past year or so are concerned because of how intrusive it is, really. It's not a deal like we've seen in the past few years. It's not a free trade agreement as Canada's been signing with countries like Colombia, which were negative in their own right. But this is much more about economic regulation, economic policy. It's kind of more of a freakish economic integration experiment than it is a free trade deal. And it will, as you said at the top there, have an impact on public services and local governments, municipal governments, in a way that past deals haven't.
What kinds of services or rights are threatened by the deal?
Europe is looking for a very, when they say comprehensive, they're looking for a very big package, essentially, from Canada. They want to see all kinds of public services privatized, essentially, because they're very competitive in this area. People think of Europe and they think, you know, they might think of social programs or, you know, the kind of place they'd like to live. And in many cases, that's true. But when it comes to public services, in a lot of cases, they have been privatized in Europe. If you look at water, you look at transit and energy, there's a very, you know, competitive open market in Europe for those what we would consider here in Canada still those public services. And so what they're hoping to get out of this deal is a comprehensive offer from the provinces, which are responsible for delivering these services, that in a way that would open them up so that their big companies, and we're talking about big water companies like Veolia and Suez, can come in and start picking up public contracts for delivering water, drinking water or water treatment, and then transit and energy. So we see this as more of a privatization deal than a trade deal so much. The same issues we have around procurement. This is a deal that the first time Canadian municipalities are going to be included permanently in a procurement deal that basically bans them from putting any kind of local preference on public spending. And so say you're wanting to favor small or local businesses in your community, whether for job creation reasons or sustainability reasons or other reasons, this agreement is going to ban that and say that the only consideration you're allowed to put on public tenders, public spending, is the bottom line. You know, what costs the cheapest? And of course, it's normally the multinationals who can provide things at the cheapest cost. But it's not the case that that's always going to be the best deal for communities, because sometimes the better deal is to spend a little more if you're creating jobs and keeping local farmers or small businesses working.
One argument made by defenders of the deal is that it's going to cost Canadians very little, that Europe is not really a big market for Canada. How would you respond to that?
Well, it's as it's going to cost Canadian policy very little, or it's going to cost... I mean, I'm not sure how they can make the case that this isn't going to be costly to Canada. We've seen a sustainability impact assessment produced from a private company in the European Union that is already predicting that the larger benefits, whether it is in the procurement chapter or whether it's in the agricultural tariff reductions or whether it's in areas like construction, for example, where there's a strong construction industry in Canada, we've seen that the benefits are going to go to EU companies. And so this, I don't see how they can make the case that this won't be costly to the Canadian economy and to Canadian workers.
You were in Europe recently. Do Europeans have any concerns about this trade deal?
Yeah, they do. They didn't at first, but now that they've been paying more attention to it, I think they do have the same concerns that I think a lot of groups in Canada have. When we were there this January for the sixth round of talks, at the same time as we were there during the talks, a coalition there called the Seattle to Brussels Network, which is made up of dozens of groups across Europe, put out a statement opposed to the CETA negotiations for much of the reasons we were mentioning, but also because they're worried in Europe of how this deal is going to affect their environmental and their farming policy. And so, for example, they have much stronger restrictions on genetically modified crops. One reason Canada entered into these negotiations is because it's trying to undermine those standards in the European Union so we can export more GM canola or other products to the European Union. The other area is environmental regulations. Europe is moving ahead with a fuel quality directive and as an attempt to kind of reduce the carbon content of transportation fuels and other fuels. And one of the parts of that policy is it's going to put numbers onto the carbon intensity of certain types of oils. And of course, tar sands oil from the Alberta tar sands is quite carbon intensive. And so what we've seen already through the negotiations is Canada lobbying the European government and saying, you'd better not put a higher value for Alberta tar sands or it's going to have consequences for the negotiations. And so we see the lowering of environmental standards being something that Canada's putting on the table as a bargaining chip. And that gives you another idea of where this deal has very little to do with trade. It's what we see is not only a privatization deal in Canada, but also a deregulation deal in the European Union as well.
Canada, of course, signed on to NAFTA years ago. How does this deal compare to NAFTA?
Well, it's NAFTA plus. They're trying to do all the things they did with NAFTA, so they want to take tariffs down to zero in most products. I mean, tariffs are already very low going into Europe or going into Canada from Europe. Our tariffs for European products are actually lower on average than European tariffs for our products. And so by going to zero, we already have a bigger benefit to the European Union, essentially. And this is something that Jim Stanford pointed out, economist with the CAW, he pointed out in a recent report that even on tariffs alone, Europe stands to benefit more than we do. also, we have, but on top of the tariffs, we have these other parts. As I was saying earlier, we have a procurement chapter, which is trying to include the provinces and the municipalities and put restrictions on how they spend money. We have an intellectual property chapter that is much different than what exists in NAFTA. So Europe wants Canada to adopt wholesale their version of copyright protections, which is much more favorable to large multinational entertainment and pharmaceutical companies than the Canadian version we have right now. So rather than us in Canada working on a Made in Canada intellectual property regime, whether it's for pharmaceuticals, that would put a balance between the generic industry here in Canada, which is quite strong, and the large Europe and American-based pharmaceutical companies. They just want to help them protect their pharmaceutical sector. And on top of that, we have a more extensive services chapter. And so areas that were kept out of NAFTA, for example, drinking water, are put into this deal. Telecommunications, they're looking at opening up Canada's telecom sector wide to private competition, essentially deregulating postal services as well, so that European postal service providers, whether they're which are again competitive internationally, can come in and provide domestic mail services in Canada. So it's quite a bit larger, deeper, as they say, than the NAFTA agreement.
And how far along is the deal?
Well, this is an interesting question, maybe a controversial question, because they're a year into the negotiations, but according to news reports this week, things might not be going as smoothly as they had hoped. They want to have a deal signed by the end of the year, but now Canada's major automakers have come out against a deal with the EU and South Korea, and they've said Canada needs a less idealistic trade policy. They can see that if we reduce tariffs on auto, for example, from 6% down to zero, that we're going to have more European, you know, Mercedes, BMW, and other companies flooding the Canadian market and displacing locally produced vehicles. And so, you know, even industry is not completely behind this. We've also seen a report a couple weeks ago that the intellectual property chapter, as it's written now, and I can say, you know, as it's written now, because we've seen leaked copies of the text come out, and they were leaked by the Trade Justice Network last year, showing that this report that came out from the Generics Association said that it's going to increase the cost of drug plans in Canada by $2.8 billion. And so this is going to put major pressure on provincial healthcare systems. And so I think what we're seeing right now is, you know, some of this clear, sober thinking, I think, happening that didn't happen at the beginning. And it's possible that over the next few months we'll start to see provincial governments coming out much more skeptically on the negotiations. The provinces are at the table for the first time in a trade talks, and it's creating interesting dynamic because, of course, they're not after the same thing. They're not all after the same things in Europe. They all have different requests. And so it's only a matter of one or two provinces not getting what they're looking for in the European deal for this thing to perhaps fall apart, which would be fine with us.
What would you like to see governments do in terms of this deal? Would you just like them to drop it, or?
Well, essentially the deal on the table is unworkable. We'd like them to drop that kind of deal entirely. And I think Canada is in desperate need of a rethink of its trade policy in general. Even if you go to a country like the United States, you know, they've been more cautious in passing deals, for example, with Colombia, because of the human rights concerns, and Panama for the same reason, labor rights concerns there. Canada's just been plowing ahead almost unthinkingly, I think, on these trade deals. From an industry perspective, if I was speaking on behalf of industry, I think I'd probably want, as the automakers said this week, I'd want a trade agreement that actually would increase Canada's exports into the EU. You know, the deal that we have right now is not so much designed to do that. It's more designed to reduce barriers, deregulate, for example, in both markets. And so, but from our perspective, from the Council of Canadians and the Trade Justice Network, we'd like to see more cooperation on the environment, for example. I mean, nowhere in this deal are there any binding limits on corporate activity, for example, in order to protect the environment. In fact, quite the opposite. The deal is designed to make it more difficult for governments to, for example, put in place policies like the Fuel Quality Directive in Europe, or the Green Energy Act in Ontario, which is designed to, you know, increase wind and solar capacity in the province. We can all picture, I think, a deal that would actually boost environmental protections, raise standards across both areas, and generally, you know, move us toward a more sustainable economy. I mean, I think this deal that we've seen on the table is just the opposite of that, and so essentially it has to go.
Well, thanks very much for joining us this morning.
Thank you.
Stuart True is the trade campaigner at the Council of Canadians. He blogs regularly about CETA and other issues at Canadians.org.